All right, we're here at the Fuel Ethanol Workshop, and I'm speaking with Dave Vandergren with ICM Incorporated. And Dave, ICM made a pretty major announcement this week, especially in light of our food versus fuel controversy that continues to go on and make news in the media. And ICM is really doing something about that with your technology and the future for our ethanol biorefineries.
Yes, ICM has been working on this technology for about the last 3 to 5 years, and we felt that this was a good time to roll it out in light of a lot of the issues that we're dealing here with both a food and or fuel controversy. And from our perspective, this really isn't a food or fuel. It's really a food and fuel. How can we take advantage of our excellent ability here in this country to grow grain, both corn and all the different crops that we do grow, and then add value to that to meet a global need for protein. I know there's been a lot of talk that there's a global need for grain, but in fact the opportunity is in a lot of these countries to grow their grain. The global need is really for protein, because as the standard of living in a lot of these other countries raises a little bit, they're wanting to also look at better nutrition as we have here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Now, so how does ICM's technology work? What does it do?
Well, really the first phase, what you really are doing first is you're taking a conventional dry grind ethanol plant that takes corn, for example, and just grinds it. Mm-hmm. And then you run the entire product through the ethanol plant, and you end up with two products. You end up with ethanol, and you end up with a product we call distiller's grains. Mm-hmm. And what distiller's grains is really everything that's left. Mm-hmm. What we're trying to do is start ahead of that process and actually do a separation of the corn kernel, where we're removing the germ, mm-hmm, and the fiber, and we end up with the endosperm, where most of the starch is at. Mm-hmm. So the endosperm goes on to the ethanol plant. We use the fiber as a biomass fuel for the plant, because it's the lowest value, and then we're taking the protein, we're taking the germ, I should say, and we're first removing the oil for the corn oil industry, and there's a huge demand for that, both U.S. and internationally for corn oil. There's a significant shortage of that product, and then our next step is to remove the protein out of the germ, because that protein is a very amino acid balanced protein. It's a very healthy protein, because it's the protein that really starts the corn at germination, starts the corn growing. Mm-hmm. And so this particular protein is also in high demand in the U.S. and would be in third world and second world, first world, any other country could be utilizing this protein as a supplement to what they grow there from a human perspective. Mm-hmm. Then again, we'll have the fiber after we've removed the oil, we've removed the protein. What's left there is fiber. So that fiber can be blended with the other fiber and, again, make more ethanol from those two streams. Mm-hmm. We're also doing a single-cell protein project on the solubles, the syrup portion of the plant. And that is a protein that's, again, it's like a what I would call a single-cell yeast protein, brewer's yeast, distiller's yeast. That's what it would be comparable to. That is a very valuable protein for things like the fish industry, any type of poultry, hog, pet food, again, like that. That is a feed protein. And the other protein is a food protein. So what you're really saying is we make a distiller's grains that has all this stuff mixed together, so you get the value of the lowest common denominator that's in it. And what we're trying to do is separate this out and say, this is good for humans. This is a better quality protein for animals. And this is your higher quality protein for livestock.
Mm-hmm. Now, this isn't just something that you're just talking about. This is actually being done. You're in partnership with Lifeline Foods in St. Joseph, Missouri. This is an operating plant that's actually doing this now, right?
They're doing the first two steps. Mm-hmm. Lifeline Foods is a partnership between ICM and 700 Farmers. Mm-hmm. And we made that decision about 2.5 years ago because this would be the place where we could demonstrate all of these technologies that we were working on at that time. Mm-hmm. So currently at Lifeline, we are doing the dry fractionation, the separating into the three parts. Mm-hmm. We are a little bit different spin there because we're taking a lot of the endosperm and we're making grits, we're making flaking grits, we're making fine grits and things like this for all kinds of food applications there today. And there will be some ethanol plants that could do that step also. Mm-hmm. That is a little more limited market. I think people don't understand that we really only use less than 10% of the U.S. corn crop actually goes to any type of food product, mm-hmm. either in this country or in other countries. Mm-hmm. So there are small opportunities there, but not big opportunities. But I think what we're trying to do when the industry is saying, where can we add the most value to the corn in that area? Mm-hmm. And in the case of Lifeline, it's with some grits. We are in the process of installing the single-cell protein production at that facility. We are working on the oil recovery at that facility. So we hope to have all of the things I mentioned here earlier commercially running at Lifeline by probably next summer.
Now, the technology that you're talking about, would these have to be new biorefineries, or could this be added to existing biorefineries?
Our goal is to go to existing biorefineries. We're looking at these fuel ethanol plants today and saying, that infrastructure doesn't change. We're just taking the corn kernel from the grain storage before it goes to the hammer mill. We're separating out the valuable parts, and we're sending to the ethanol plant the endosperm portion. And so that reduces by about 15% the amount of stuff that's going through that plant that really isn't going to produce ethanol anyway. Mm-hmm. So why get it wet? Why dry it? Why spend the cost? We're significantly reducing the energy cost in operating a plant, the enzyme cost, the labor cost, the maintenance cost. Your ethanol plant is going to be much more reliable and efficient when we're doing these separations up front.
Well, the significance of this in today, media stories of the food versus fuel is the fact that really the media doesn't and the public doesn't really understand all the things you were talking about that you can get out of one little kernel of corn. There's so much in there. It's not just a matter of we're going to take this corn and we're going to make ethanol out of it and nothing else, right?
That's correct. There's a part of the corn that is protein that is valuable to humans. All we're doing is we're taking that out. Mm-hmm. And rather than take, as we do today, we ship 56 pounds, a bushel of corn, mm-hmm. we ship it somewhere. And this opportunity says, no, let's ship what they really need. Let's ship the 5 or 6 pounds of protein. Mm-hmm. And they've got plenty of fiber, they've got plenty of carbohydrates and stuff other places to mix with this to make balanced nutrition. Even when we feed livestock, we don't feed them corn. We take corn, we mix it with hay, we may mix it with protein, we mix it with things to make balanced nutrition. We want to send the protein portion that allows for balanced nutrition wherever in the world it's needed.
Well, this is really significant because when we're talking about this, especially the corn industry has been made a real issue about the fact this is field corn that we're talking about. You know, they compare it to, this isn't the corn you eat. And in most cases, that's true because we use it for things like corn oil possibly or corn syrup or things like that. But this, you're talking about making a real usable product that people who are hungry in the world could use.
Absolutely. This is something that can go into any type of a food product as a supplement. to make a better food product out of what they've got.
What is the reception then that you're getting from places like USDA? I know Lifeline Foods has worked with exports already. They do a lot of exporting thing. But is there a way that you're going to be able to work this into possibly our export program and our food aid program?
Yes, we've had discussions. In fact, our senator from Kansas, Senator Brownback, is very involved in the food aid type thing. That's one of his interests, and we've had visits with him already, and there's been visits with some others that have said, you know, if you can make a product and a good quality product that will benefit our food aid program, mm-hmm. absolutely they will help us formulate that into that type of a marketplace, and I think that's pretty neat.
Well, looking at the ethanol industry as a whole, we're having this fuel ethanol workshop at a time right now when ethanol is virtually under attack. How do you feel as you have been in this industry for as long as this workshop's been going on for almost 25 years? How do you feel at this point in time about the industry?
Well, I think, I've always been very pro this industry because of what it can do for agriculture. We have a 50-year history in this country of putting together government programs that encourage farmers not to farm. And we are the most efficient, best advanced agriculture in the world. The average crop in the United States is 150 bushel the acre. The average crop in Eastern Europe is 80. South Africa, 50. I was in Kenya, 30. So where is the best place to grow crops? It's in the U.S. Our trade deficit, just as one example, we are sending well over $1 billion a day overseas to buy oil when, in fact, we've got 36 billion acres of what we call CRP out of production. Now, some of that is good to stay out of production because it's really not that good a ground. But at least two-thirds of that ground is very, very, very good farm ground. And we have the ability to take that ground, grow something that the world can use, that the world is very willing to pay for, and bring revenue back to this country and balance our trade, along with reducing our dependence on foreign oil. I really have no heartburn over the oil production here in the U.S. or Canada or Mexico, people that are allies of us. But sending money to people that absolutely do not have us on their Christmas card list is really short-sighted. So if we can develop industry within this country that gives us control of our destiny and puts us in control of our future, we are not putting our grandchildren at risk.
So then would you say that you're still optimistic about the ethanol industry?
Absolutely. The ethanol industry is by far, the best thing that's ever happened to agriculture. It's saying we are developing uses for what we're really good at, and we're really good at growing things in this country. Mm-hmm. And so the ethanol industry will continue to be a user, just as the biodiesel industry is, and all of the other renewable industries from wind and solar. All of those are all part of the solution. This is not ethanol as the answer. This is ethanol as one section of a sectional bridge that'll take us from one side of the river dependent to the other side of the river independent. And the most important thing to remember about ethanol, it's the first section. So if the first section is solid and anchored to the bank and good fundamental viability, then everything else will be good also. And I think that we as an entire country need to say, what are the renewable things that we can do year over year over year and become makers instead of just takers?
And thank you very much. That's Dave Vandergren with ICM Incorporated. I'm Cindy Zimmerman reporting from the Fuel Ethanol Workshop in Nashville.